Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
There's probably, in psychology, that popular phrase says everything hysterical is historical.
Is there an issue that's difficult for you and your spouse to talk about? Here's Rebecca Lyons on Focus on the Family Minute.
So where has this bumped up against us in the past that has been a trigger that we kind of really respond to? The amygdala goes offline, fight, flight, freeze. All the cortisol is, that stress hormone is surging. It takes 4 hours to leave our system. We've got to get to the root cause. And so what we have encouraged a lot of people to do, when you take 15 minutes apart, you de-escalate, you get with the Lord, God, show me what you want me to know about this. Like, is there more to this topic that just keeps becoming friction for us?
Hear more from Rebecca Lyons and her husband Gabe on ways you can fight for a good marriage at familyminute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
Now, the rest of the story. It was an unpopular war to begin with, as you will remember. Not many volunteers, so the draft was instated, and suddenly the fighting started on a second front. Draft agers were enraged, particularly minorities who complained that only rich establishment types could afford deferments. There were demonstrations. One such took place in New York City, quickly got out of hand. The angry demonstrators, 50,000 of them, made their way up Third Avenue, smashing store windows and looting and burning as they went. Police, overwhelmed by the sheer numbers, were helpless. Manhattanites fled for their lives, except one. Except one. One store owner stood his ground. His name was Charlie. Now, Charlie was a supplier of military equipment. He sold uniforms and decorations and munitions to the United States Armed Forces. As the violent draft protests spilled over into their second day, Charlie was warned that his establishment would be a most likely target. But the stubborn New Englander was grim and determined to defend his property. When news arrived that thousands of protesters had rallied, were preparing to march up Broadway, Charlie's supply house was on Broadway. He must vacate the premises at once. Friends advised, just drop everything and run. Other merchants on the street had already locked up and gone home. But Charlie refused. Instead, he shuttered the store windows, barred the doors, passed out rifles and hand grenades to his staff. When the employees had been posted at strategic locations around the store, Charlie made a last-minute inspection. Everybody was ready to repel any attack. Charlie's little army waited in silence. Somebody exclaimed, "I hear them." The others listened, and unmistakably, the sounds of a distant riot were growing louder. Charlie and his staff stood poised. The mob was but two blocks away now. Many thousands chanting, shouting, demolishing buildings, and setting fires. And soon the anti-draft protesters would be in front of Charlie's. But mercifully, somehow, police managed to turn the rampant protesters aside. And the destruction continued down another street. 124 years ago. For the draft riots that rocked the Big Apple took place during four seething days in July of 1863. In angry response to the nation's first draft act, a violent protest by 50,000 irate Irish immigrants during the infamous American Uncivil War. And Charlie, the munitions dealer, he had been a jeweler before the outbreak of the war between the states, who thereupon expanded his business to include military equipment, who actually turned his elegant, sparkling Manhattan showrooms into a candy store for the killing machine. After the war, Charlie's became the most prominent jewelry business in the Western world. Became so famous as such that folks forgot what you have just learned. For the merchant whose exclusive jewelry shop was once a war zone was Charles Lewis Tiffany. And now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Slow Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on the right choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. Today I have Josh Friedman on the show, and he is calling in from Ukraine. We're going to go over the Ukraine war. I also have David Duringer. His wife was born in Ukraine, but we're going to start. We had two callers that called in before the end of the show, and they've been waiting patiently. Welcome to Sound Off. What did you want to ask about Dave today? Are you there? They might be gone,
Karen,
already.
Karen, I'm here. This is Josh Friedman.
Oh, no, Josh, I had two other callers that called in during right as I was getting done with the first section. Give me 1 second. I'm going to try one more. Welcome to Sound Off. What did you want to bring to the conversation? I don't think either one of them stayed on. Okay, Josh, thank you very much. Where are you at right now, Josh?
I am in Odessa on the Black Sea coast in Ukraine.
And I was talking earlier, and I'm going to explain. The Ukraine is out of weapons. Let me get this caller. They're trying back in.
Ukraine's not completely out of weapons.
Not out of weapons. They're out of Patriot missiles. Hold just a moment, Josh. Welcome to Sound Off. What did you want to bring to the conversation?
Yeah, this Ukraine. President Trump is saying that 35,000 Russian soldiers, 25,000 a week or a month. Are these figures really right?
Yes, they're losing 7-1. Russia's losing 7-1 is the latest. England just came out with a report saying they believe injured, left the country, or dead are 1.5 million Russians. The numbers in Russia are much higher than the numbers in Ukraine.
And if you're a Russian soldier that's injured, you have a 60% chance of dying.
Well, here's another question. During the Vietnam War, every night we saw pictures of this. Why aren't there any pictures of what's happening there? Why isn't there any news there? Where's CNN? Where's all these stations that take these pictures of this happening and shove it in our face like they did the Vietnam War?
I watch news on Ukraine almost every night, but it's we're not getting as much news from the mainstream media in the U.S.
CBS News does have a correspondent station in Kyiv now, but I actually get asked this question a lot. Why isn't it on the mainstream media there? There are definitely mainstream media here in Ukraine, but the level of excitement and covering it is nowhere near what it was back in 2022.
Well, it's pretty sad. You have to listen to Josh Friedman and Karen Veely to know what's happening in Ukraine. They actually really know what's happening because the mainstream media, CBS, ABC, and the rest of them, they don't show nothing, and they don't tell people what's happening. And I think if people saw the pictures like they did in the Vietnam War, there would be a stop to this war, I think, pretty quick, because the world pressure would be put on upon them. The thousands and thousands of people being killed. And for what?
I think the policy is to demilitarize Russia long term.
Well, if you're talking about photographing and video recording casualties at the front, let's say, then it's entirely different than it was 4 years ago, because now there isn't even a proper front line. There's a kill zone that's many kilometers wide, and it's far more difficult for media to access what is the front or the kill zone at this point. There are still some journalists, some news crews going into those areas, but they're far more difficult to get to for a variety of reasons, and safety is an obvious one.
Well, what's killing these soldiers? Is this a drone that's killing these soldiers, all drones?
Yeah, 95%.
Predominantly because of the drones, the so-called front looks completely different than it did even a couple years ago.
Yeah, 95%.
Why would these soldiers even want to enter this war knowing they're a dead man walking? Because how can you protect yourself from a drone? There's no way you can stop that. And you're walking into it, and they see above, and you're a dead man. I don't know. Are the soldiers smart enough to not enter this war? Are they forcing them to enter the war?
Depends on a lot of factors. If you're Ukrainian and you're conscripted, then you don't have a whole lot of choice with regard to whether you're going to be part of the military. But that doesn't mean that you're going to be sent straight to the front. It doesn't mean that you're going to be in infantry. Now, it's only a small percentage of the Ukrainian troops that are actually in infantry positions. Actually, I don't know the percentage, but more and more Ukraine, less and less Ukraine is reliant upon infantry. But it's a lot different on the Russian side. And on the Russian side, you could be a North Korean soldier who was sent there by your government. You could be someone from a poor region of Russia who is desperately needs money, and you take the money. There are many different there are foreign mercenaries on both sides. There are many reasons why people end up in places where they're literally fighting this war.
Let me ask you this, Josh. You're there. What's your feeling? You think this war is going to just keep going on and on and on? I mean, it has to stop sometime. You're going to run out of soldiers to fight unless they start getting kids to fight.
Well, I think that on the Russian side, they could be running out of money, logistical. They're running into logistical nightmares. I think they're going to, arguably, they could run out of materials in some places because of those logistical nightmares. I think they're going to run out of other things before they run out of troops. There are plenty of Russians who could conceivably get conscripted, albeit it seems like Russian society doesn't want to go through this. On the Ukrainian side, I've heard for years this notion, Ukraine is running out of men. It's not true. The country's got a demographic crisis, and the war is definitely making it worse. But neither side is about to run out of people. And Ukraine is finding ways to innovate technologically so that they're less and less dependent on soldiers physically doing the fighting on the front or in the kill zone, as opposed to using drones, ground drones, or robots, you could say, aerial drones, sea drones, etc. Ukraine's really innovating.
You can see the difference between the two countries based in their conscription policy. Ukraine values life, so they've for centuries they've been subject to this Russian genocide. And they've been very, very responsible in conscripting only older males in their late 20s. My nephew is 18 or I think 19 now. He's in college. He has no risk of being drafted until he's got a chance to start a family, have babies. And, you know, Ukraine being genocided needs to have babies, right? So that's their policy right now. They're not desperate at all like Russia is. Russia is just throwing untrained civilians who will die very quickly, probably even before they reach the zero line, because they lack the training to fight.
Well, I saw President Trump sitting with Zelensky and said he's going to be giving technology, forgot which one, missile or what drone,
Patriot.
Technology Patriot license it to Ukraine. I mean, this place sounds like it's hell on earth, this whole Ukraine-Russia thing.
Well, Zelensky just did get authorization for another shipment. So they're going to get another shipment pretty soon of Patriots until they're able to ramp up production. I don't think they have the production in place yet. But
the Patriots are specifically needed because Ukraine is in desperate need of air defense against ballistic missiles. And I saw this firsthand last week, saw it twice over the last week or so in Kyiv, where the city is getting bombarded with Russian missiles. And unlike with drones, where they shoot down a very high percentage of them, the missiles are, for the most part, just getting through and wreaking havoc. And just over the past 8 or 9 days or so, I was there twice. It happened. There were missiles slamming into apartment buildings, pulverizing apartment buildings, civilians being killed in their sleep. I saw a hotel on fire that had diplomats inside. That wasn't hit by a missile, but nonetheless, there was a missile barrage, and Ukraine has been wanting these Patriot missiles for a long time because it's basically the weakest point in their defenses, defending against Russian ballistic missiles.
Well, here's my final question to you, Josh, or anybody. What eventually is the chance of a nuclear bomb, one inside or the other, happening in this area?
I don't think it makes sense for Putin to use a nuke because it's pretty much mutually assured destruction.
Ukraine has its own nuclear answer.
I don't think it's going to end well for Putin and Russia, but I'm not going to say with 100% certainty that's not going to happen. I'm just not expecting it to happen.
More than half of the nuclear power plants around Moscow lack a concrete overlay for protection. So Ukraine can attack Russia with nuclear radiation almost as badly if they just simply send their drones. Russia has no effective air defense, and Ukraine can respond even without NATO responding.
You know, the sad thing, too, is I know Ukraine people here in America. I know Russian people. They both seem like very nice people. And for this to be happening, it's just like, is this going to go on and on, it seems like? And the billions of dollars being spent. The last administration spent billions of dollars. We need help here at home, too. So it's like, it's real quagmire.
And thank you very much for calling in. And it is what has happened is they had the Patriot missiles. Russia was primarily sending drones and a few missiles here and there. When Ukraine ran out of Patriot missiles to stop interceptor missiles, to stop the ballistic missiles from Russia, they just started pounding the cities. And I was on the phone with Josh on the 1st. And the explosion, he was underground. They had hit the hotel with diplomats in it. Josh was underground. On the phone, I have never heard an explosion. I've talked to Josh before when drone fire and that. This was shocking to me. And today, Josh, what is going on in Odessa today?
I am actually not entirely sure, but I heard that there were a couple missiles that came in like a few hours ago, somewhere where I might have been. But frankly, it happens in Odessa a lot too. Just yesterday or 2 days ago, just after I arrived here, I checked into my apartment and right away heard a missile strike. I've heard many missile strikes in Odessa, particularly they target the port, although saying the port is not really being specific enough because there are multiple ports in the Odessa region, and they target multiple ports, and quite frequently there are missile strikes here, but it's not anything like what I experienced in Kyiv twice over the past 8 days or so, where there was a night full of missile bombardment. In Odessa, sometimes there's heavy drone bombardments, and there are civilians who are impacted. Sometimes apartment buildings get hit. But usually when I'm here and I hear a missile impact, I check. I mean, it's not necessarily broadcast, but I often see that it's targeting a port area. And then with regard to the port that's right in the city center, the whole area surrounding it's kind of at risk because these missiles aren't 100% precise. And I've seen buildings around the port that are heavily damaged, and sometimes people driving by the port area are actually at risk during these strikes. So it's nothing near the severity of what I saw in Kyiv twice, as I said, over the past week or so, with thousands of people or more taking shelter in the middle of the night. I've never seen anything like that here in Odessa, but Odessa does come under bombardment as well.
And right now,
I'll try to check where that strike was earlier today.
And regarding the Patriot intercept, and what Trump has said is he's going to give license the technology to them, help them put plants together to build it. There were other countries saying, are you going to let Europe do that also? Trump said, I don't know at this time. But he is giving them the technology, and he asked other countries in Europe to please send them some Patriot missiles. I have someone I know that is involved with the creation of Patriot missiles in this country, and they told me there's a serious shortage right now. We do not have Patriot missiles to send out with everything else that's going on in the world, and they are at full capacity and do not have. We have a shortage. I don't know about the rest of the world if they have a shortage also, but Josh,
I was actually by one of those other ports today, and it looks like one of those ports was targeted. And I'm on one of the Telegram channels right now. It looks like there's a drone coming into the Odessa area from the Black Sea right now. What were you going to ask?
So this part of this all started since the beginning. Well, let's talk. We'll come back after a word from our sponsor, and we'll talk about the changes this year. There's a major changes. Ukraine is actually doing very well this year in the war.
Right now.
And we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with more with Josh and David.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Charles Payne, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages ending higher as markets shrug off U.S.-Iran tensions. Tech was the best-performing sector, with semiconductors and memory chip makers leading the charge. Shares of Broadcom rose over 3%, extending gains from the previous session after Apple said it plans to invest more than $30 billion in an extended partnership with the chip maker. However, software stocks slipped on AI disruption jitters. Shares of IBM fell on news that Starbucks is reportedly developing AI-powered software that could replace several enterprise applications currently supplied by Microsoft and IBM. The Dow winners, Goldman Sachs, American Express, and United Health Group. The Dow decliners, Caterpillar, IBM, and Johnson & Johnson. The Dow rising 139 points, the Nasdaq higher by 336, S&P 500 up 61. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
I'm David Ortiz. When I lost my mom, she was only 46, and I lost my dad to cancer. It was the worst pain I ever felt. It made me think, what will happen with the people I love when my time is up? That's why I have life insurance. Ethos makes it easy. You sort online, take about 10 minutes, and you can get up to $3 million in coverage.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/save. That's ethos.com/save. Paid testimonial. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Midstate Precious Metals is open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. in Atascadero, across from the movie theater. If you're looking for an appraisal or quote, on your gold or silver, go see Ron at Midstate Precious Metals for a free quote. With gold and silver at an all-time high, this is the time. They are one of the highest paying bullion dealers on the West Coast, and they can walk you through the steps to buy and sell with no commitment. Check them out at MidstatePreciousMetals.com or stop by anytime in Atascadero, Tuesday through Friday. Do you worry about where to take your car for repairs? Who you can trust? Mike and his team at the Autobahn are a safe bet. Located in Templeton, behind the donut shop, just off Main Street. They service Mercedes, BMWs, Volkswagens, Porsches, and Audis. And the Autobahn is certified in those cars and in repairing Land Rovers, Volvos, and Mini Coopers. Call the Autobahn, 434-2200.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealey, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoon. Also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. Today, Josh Friedman is on the show. He is calling in from Odessa, Ukraine. And there's a 40-day plan. And when I also have Dave Duringer, his wife is from Ukraine. He's very familiar what is going on there. He is in studio. They have the 40-day plan, Josh. I think it gets over sometime the first week or two of August is supposed to end, and it was a 40-day plan to take control of the war. But even when I had you on before, it's changed. They're now taking land back. It's 7-1 is the latest count I read on Russian to Ukrainian people killed in the war, soldiers. What are you hearing from inside Ukraine about the 40-day plan, and how is Ukraine doing?
Not much. Granted, I'm not speaking with high-ranking members of the government, so I can't really tell you any inside information about the 40-day plan, but I'd be interested to see what materializes in places like the Kherson region. Do the Russian logistics become so problematic that possibly there's some sign of a pullback? I remember last time we talked about whether or not Crimea is really up for grabs, and I think we debated that a little bit. That's been a pretty hot debate in international media and online in recent weeks. So I don't know exactly with respect to the 40-day plan. I have been asking people whether they feel more optimistic about the situation and whether they think Ukrainians as a whole are more optimistic about the situation compared to last year, for instance. And I think I sense a little more optimism, but in general, I mostly sense the optimism in and among analysts as opposed to everyday Ukrainians going about their lives. Many people just going about their lives are quite pessimistic and quite frustrated with the situation, especially given what took place in Kyiv a couple times over the past 8 days. When I was there in Kyiv, I ran into a bunch of people and was in contact with a bunch of people who were impacted one way or another by the bombardment. There were not just the apartments that were obliterated and people killed that way, but there were some secondary explosions in the attack a few days ago in Kyiv that impacted a whole lot of people in this one suburb. I was speaking with someone whose windows were shattered, which is probably the least of concerns compared to the people who were killed in their sleep. But there are a lot of people being in Odessa the past few days, come across people very frustrated with the bombardment. There are definitely people who have war fatigue. That hasn't ended. I wouldn't say that Ukraine as a whole is way more optimistic about the situation, but I do sense a lot more optimism coming from analysts and people who are closely following the military sphere.
And David, what do you think about what's going to happen in the future with the Kharkiv region and with Crimea? Do you see the Ukrainians doing better?
I brought up Kherson, not Kharkiv. I was in Kharkiv.
I mean, which one? I'm saying the wrong one.
Well, Kherson. Kherson's the one by Crimea.
Okay, Kherson.
Well, as an estate planning attorney, you know, I follow on Telegram a couple channels, but I follow Chuck Farr mainly for insights like this, and just watched his video yesterday, and he seems to be pretty sure that within 8 months, Ukraine, you know, all this logistics attacks that we've seen, even on our last show, it had already been going on for several weeks. He thinks that that Ukraine is actually going to retake, if I understand him correctly, they're going to move into Kherson and retake that probably within eight months. And probably some part of Crimea, northern Crimea at least, some foothold in Crimea, maybe Sevastopol or Zhankoy, somewhere in the north. You know, Ukraine, there's only three roads into Crimea, so it's very easy to cut off logistics. You got the Kerch Bridge, which they probably want to keep around just to allow people to evacuate. But in the north, you've only got the M-17 and M-18, and Ukraine has already pretty much damaged those. So, you know, it's caused a lot of problems. Real transport can't happen, and then some make it across on pontoons, but the trucks are piled up, which makes them easy targets for drones. So things are falling apart a lot more quickly than we expected last time we had this show. And so I think there's going to be real movement. And as we mentioned on break, I mentioned, you know, September is traditional time for revolution in Russia. So I think things might happen politically. No, nothing's going to happen. The only way Putin will die when the war ends. Okay. That's why there's a recent attempt by his oligarchs and support staff to get him to agree to a deal with Zelensky, and Putin vetoed it. That's what I heard today earlier. And I think because Putin knows that he's a dead man when the war ends, regardless. So I think he's going to keep it going as long as he can. But if the only way it's going to not last a long time is if there's some political revolution in Russia.
And Josh, I'm seeing on the, what I've watching the newscast, I'm watching that Crimea, you know, they've gone after the power plants. There's a lot of the stores don't have, because of the entryways, the stores are very low at food. There's gas shortages in Ukraine, in the Crimea. What are you hearing about Crimea there?
Well, I'm not hearing much of anything firsthand, albeit I do know someone in the Ukrainian government who works, not a task force, but works for the presidential administration monitoring the situation in Crimea, so I could definitely speak with him, but I'm definitely not getting any first or secondhand reports from what's going on there, but if you follow developments of the war, obviously there's somewhat of a logistical nightmare that's unfolding for the Russians in and around Crimea right now.
We've got a caller. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask our guests today?
Well, David just made a statement that Putin's a dead man once the war's over. Maybe I missed something earlier. I wasn't listening the whole time, but where did he get that?
Russians do not tolerate failure in their leaders.
Hmm. So the military would take him out, or some of the other oligarchs?
I think Putin may join the urban skydiving club.
A lot of people fall out of windows in Moscow.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in. Josh, do you agree with that? Do you think there's a good chance if this war doesn't make it, Putin doesn't make it?
Yes, and that's one reason I'm always skeptical that the war is about to come to an end very shortly, but I can't say with certainty, and he could he could pull some other stunts militarily. It's not without question. Recently, U.S. was warning about some potential pseudo invasion of Poland that Russia might try. There's the Baltics. There's been hybrid warfare going on in a variety of ways. There've been drones that have even hit an apartment block in Romania. So there are all kinds of things that he could pull in other areas, largely in this region, Eastern Europe, but beyond as well. But I do think Putin is in deep trouble if the Russians end up retreating from Ukraine. What happens then with all those soldiers? How do they then reintegrate into life in Russia? Another aspect with the soldiers, not just their mental condition, but they're making so much more money than they would be making otherwise, living and doing regular jobs in various Russian provinces. So what happens when not just that they're angry and mentally ill and they've been killing people and seen death, but they come back to having basically little to no prospects of reintegrating the workforce, at least not at the financial level that they had been at. So there'll be a whole variety of problems if the Russian soldiers who have been fighting Ukraine, occupying Ukrainian territory, have to come back to Russia proper.
So this talk by Trump, I'm going to ask both of you this. This talk by you first, Josh. Trump said today that he is setting up a meeting for the two of them. You don't expect anything. Do you expect anything to come from this meeting that they're supposed to have in the new future to talk about an agreement?
First of all, how are we supposed to believe that it's actually going to materialize? This has been talked about and floated many times in the past. And politically speaking, it's a giant loss for Putin if he has to shake hands with Zelensky and meet with him and speak with him as if he's an equal. He'd been trying for years to frame it as if he wouldn't even acknowledge Zelensky as the leader in Ukraine. And for years, the Kremlin's tried to frame things as it just being some junta here or some illegitimate leadership. So that alone would be a failure on Putin's part if he has to meet Ukraine and walk back all that rhetoric. Meet Zelensky and walk back all that rhetoric. But he's also in a weakened position. So I don't know what's going to happen, but this has been floated many times before and it's yet to materialize. And there's also logistical or geographical location. How do you get whomever to whatever place that they're going to meet? It happened with Anchorage, not that Zelensky was there, but I don't know for sure that this is going to happen.
Josh brought up some great points. If Putin does a deal, what are all those upset troops going to do? They're just going to cause problems for Putin at home. So is Putin going to use it against the Baltics then? I forgot the name of that pass. Swalky Pass, to make Kaliningrad more secure. So, you know, in some ways, I think that it's really not in Ukraine's interest to do a deal at this point. Ukraine does seem to be winning, although Zelensky, who is very well respected, has cautioned against being too optimistic in that regard. But it really does feel like the tide has turned and Ukraine has a real chance of getting Crimea back. Maybe not before Christmas or even two Christmases, but it looks like they're going to probably succeed just because it's so darn difficult for Russia to meet the logistics requirements for Kherson and Crimea and even that whole land bridge they have. So I think there's no sense. It doesn't make sense for Ukraine. It doesn't make sense for Europe. I mean, Ukraine is the only, you know, American-like country in Europe at this point, except for, of course, Czech Republic has actually passed the Second Amendment, one of the few countries that right to bear arms in Czechia. But Ukraine is the only country with a real militia ethic going back a long time. They're the only ones that really can be effective in defense, I think. And I don't think the Baltic states are going to do very well. Poland's not going to do very well. We've got a very low rate of concealed carry in Poland compared to some other Eastern European countries.
Josh, we're going to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and we'll be back with more with Josh and David.
Painting, we get it. Hiring contractors can be frustrating. Missed calls, no callbacks, endless waiting for even a price. We do things different. You can book your quote right on the spot. And to top that off, you will have a detailed quote and price before we leave. Painting is easier with Peak.
Hi, I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Ryan Peek.
And we're the Peek Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peek Painting at peekpainting.com.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated, Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location. Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Friday and has a dump station for your RV. Learn more. Call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online. DeltaLiquidEnergy.com.
Junior, do you know why my TV is turned down so low? Last week, I went down to see Peter Lussier at Hearing Aid Specialists of the Central Coast. He's a nice young feller who tested my hearing. He had me try on these nearly invisible hearing aids. See? They ain't got no buttons or nothing. By gum, I hear like I'm 29 years old. Call Peter at Hearing Aid Specialists. Dial 805-460-7385. Or use your smartphone and go to SlocountyHearingAids.com.
When it comes to sustainable energy systems and service, Central Coast residents trust Solarponics. Marilyn from Templeton says, quote, Solarponics installed our system almost 20 years ago. There are occasions when your system needs to be serviced. With Solarponics, work is completed quickly with knowledge and skill. This is as important a part of a solar company as the original installation. Thank you, Marilyn, for your Google review. When we install a sustainable energy system, we're installing a lifetime of as important service. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
Attention Central Coast homeowners. Is your water heater over 7 years old? If so, replace it with a heat pump water heater before it fails and save thousands in energy costs. Plus, new rebates cover up to 80% of the cost. Call or click to get a free, no-hassle quote today. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealy. I have Josh Friedman. He is calling from Ukraine. We are talking about some of the things going on with the Ukraine-Russian war. I also have Dave Derringer on the show. Dave Derringer is very involved with Ukraine. His wife is from Ukraine. He has been there many times. And both, there's been a lot of changes in the war, and we were going over that. Ukraine is in the middle of a 40-day pounding of Russian infrastructure, and there is oil shortages in Russia. They have gone after their oil. They have gone after bridges going into Crimea. They have taken out power plants in Crimea. There is a major attack on infrastructure. It was all planned out. Zelensky announced it. It'll be getting over sometimes in the first weeks. But in the middle of all this, Russia started hitting Ukraine with missiles because Ukraine is out of Patriot interceptor missiles to stop the ballistic missiles. So, Josh, what do you think? What do you think is next with this war?
Well, actually, on that note, I'll say one other thing that's starting to get some attention that has been Russia's been striking gas stations or petrol stations, as they call them here in Ukraine. I first saw that when I was in Kharkiv, driving around Kharkiv. I was shown at least a few gas stations that were hit. So that was even before these recent retaliatory strikes. But I've seen more attacks on gas stations, including Kharkiv. And one that I saw recently, which was noteworthy, was that I forget if someone was hit or killed. I think a car might have been taken out, but there was an FPV drone that struck a gas station in Kharkiv.
I saw that video.
Are the first person view drones, and those things are very common at the front. They're all, or the kill zone. They're all over the place there, and the soldiers are very reliant upon them. They're also all over the place in Kherson, the city of Kherson, where that human safari is taking place. And when this FPV strike occurred in the middle of Kharkiv, and actually I don't know exactly where in the city it took place. I could check, but I don't think it was in the city center, but might not have been too far. Anyway, I saw some people raising some concerns, and probably rightfully so, that because of the distance or the reach, how far these drones can go and how it's continuously getting farther and farther, I think there were some concerns that what's happening in Kherson could spread to other cities. I don't know to what extent that could be done in Kharkiv. Kharkiv's a big city, and it's not like the Russians are just on the other side of a river from Kharkiv, though they've been in Kharkiv at the beginning of the war. But maybe a city like Sumy that I had visited briefly last year. Sumy is very often getting pounded. Sumy is pretty much a frontline city, so I think there is some rightful concern that the human safari happening in Kherson could turn into human safaris elsewhere because of the constant advancement of drone technology.
And we have a caller. I'm going to bring a caller in. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask the guests today?
Yeah, I have a different opinion about the prospects for Ukraine. I think the license to produce Patriot missiles is meaningless because they can't do it for at least 5 years. And the United States and the countries that already hold licenses can't get the materials. I mean, down to the potassium perchlorate that's used to fuel the rockets, and that Putin won't stop, and that he's got a 2.5 year pass to whatever he does, because Trump idolizes Putin and his control over the media, as well as he does Erdogan in Turkey and his control over the media. Erdogan just jailed a guy who's the equivalent of Jimmy Kimmel, and Trump would love to put Jimmy Kimmel in jail. So I think the Russians are going to say, hey, this is a battle against the Nazis, just like in World War II. We've got to, take our punches and keep going.
And, Josh, how do you want to respond to that? And then I'll ask Dave respond to it. Or, Dave, do you want to go first?
Well,
Dave can go for it.
Go ahead. There's so much there. I mean, just where do you get the 5 years? And
Trump actually said they should be able to produce a Patriot missile with the assistant. They're going to send people from the United States and equipment, and he thought they'd be able to produce them within 2 months. So that isn't what Trump is saying he'll be able to do. Again, the U.S. is supposed to be helping Ukraine produce them.
I think there was reporting the contrary today. I think Bloomberg was reporting that it could potentially take years, but I didn't read much about it.
Go ahead. I have nothing to add, but it seemed like the caller has some misconceptions about Trump. Trump, if you look at his actions, not his words, Trump has always been very pro-Ukraine, the most pro-Ukraine president since 2014 or earlier. Trump is very. Trump is not a fan of Putin. Trump says Putin is a friend. Just same thing with the rocket man in North Korea. That don't listen to his words. Look at his actions.
He did say with that conversation with Zelensky that he believes that he has invested into the underground resources and believes that Ukraine is going to turn into a. It's going to be a better and better nation and come out very well after this war.
Yeah.
He said that just in the last couple of days.
And I did. I saw something on Telegram this morning about some big new investment coming together in the strategic minerals deal that he did.
I actually just interviewed someone who has a mineral exploration company. He had some interesting things to say, but he couldn't reveal to me who he said he was in talks with or had been in talks with some major U.S. companies that were inquiring because of the mineral deal. So I don't really have any specifics to report on that, but I did think that it was interesting in my conversation with him that, at least for me, I had the misconception that a lot of the areas that could be mined where the mineral wealth might be would be inaccessible because of the war, but this guy with the mineral exploration business actually used to live in California. He's a Stanford grad. He was stressing to me that there are locations all around the country. Not exactly nationwide, but it's not like the only minerals that can be tapped into are in Donbass. That's not the case. So I found that point interesting.
And thank you for calling in. Yeah, it's going to be very interesting over the next couple months.
I just want to make one point in response to the conversation about Putin and Trump. Regardless of whether we're paying more attention to his words or actions, I agree, Dave, about how I suggest paying more attention to Trump's actions. But Trump is not popular here. That's been pretty.
Oh, that's for sure.
That's been pretty evident.
People have to understand.
Ukrainians have very much soured on Trump.
People have to understand, and I understand this from my wife, that BBC has completely brainwashed Ukrainians. And they probably have a few more sources now, but BBC is still up there. I followed Kyiv Independent, Kyiv Post. They're all gradually being a little more fair toward Trump, but they're still anti-Trump in their bias. So a lot of there's probably some State Department, deep state influence there and the journalists there. But Ukrainians are brainwashed, but so are a lot of Americans. We just have to stick to everybody needs to learn to think critically. And we have a lot of nutballs on our side on the right. I've come to learn since this war. Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't look at the Republican Party the same way I looked at it before. I'm still Republican, but I no longer view it as a party of principle. It no longer stands up for the right to life. There's a lot of nutballs in our party that think that the right to life ends at our borders, but that's not the Christian view. We have a duty to defend, not defend with our lives, but to at least render assistance where there is genocide, a genocidal invasion, and we can do something to help.
And David, I want to thank you very much for coming on the show today. And Josh, thank you for calling in today. What time is it there in Odessa?
It is 11:59 p.m., so maybe some...
Thank you very much for calling in.
Thank you, Josh.
Thank you.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL was brought to you by Lynn Patrol, specializing in dryer vent cleaning. Don't overwork your dryer or let your vent start a fire. Contact Dylan at LynnPatrolCA.com or call 805-975-5176.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 2 o'clock.